Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Leaning more towards going back to school. It's something that I'd like to do, just try and get the true experience of playing college hockey. But I mean, at the end of the day, it obviously depends on what the team wants and what everyone around me thinks is best. So I don't think there's really a bad option, but I would say I'm probably leaning a bit more to going back to school right now.
That is Owen Power, the presumptive number one pick in the NHL draft. He was on NHL Network on the NHL Now show, and looks like he, well, is leaning towards going back to the University of Michigan for a second season playing hockey for the Wolverines. Happy Tuesday.
I'm trying to think. Every once in a while we talk about this. Why can't that be the case in the other sports, too? Get drafted, go back to school. Hockey has it. Why can't basketball have that? Why can't football have that?
I'm trying to think what baseball. You could go back to school in baseball, right? Can't you get drafted and still stay in high school or college and they retain your rights for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, you're not, and it's not until you sign. You're drafted, but you don't sign.
Yeah. I don't know why. Is it having something to do with agents, signing with agents?
I know for like players that are drafted and then go to college hockey, like for instance, Owen Power, if he signs his NHL contract, that's against NCAA rules where then
right.
He would immediately have to go. I think it's the same with baseball. It would be the same with baseball at least.
Right, but you still are able to be
sure.
In college
yeah.
While drafted. You can't sign with an agent. You can have a
family
advisor.
Right,
yeah, sure.
Right, which is the same thing as an agent, right, I assume, essentially?
Kinda, yeah.
Kind of a less formal agent.
It's always seemed to me like the best system because you want to go back to school, get a couple more years, get some seasoning, not be thrown in too soon.
Yeah. And the team still maintains your draft rights until your class graduates, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure why it's done that way.
He did immediately soften it there, though, by saying, like, we'll see what the team wants to do. So it might even be a case of a kid – not wanting to presume he's just going to be asked to play in the NHL.
Right. Now, this is, and two fellas, correct me if I'm wrong, when it's collegiate, that's different than juniors. There's no rule that if Power signs, he could go to Rochester, right? It's not, well, you either got to be in the NHL or you go back to your junior team. You can't send a junior kid to the minors. Power could go to Rochester.
Yes.
But there's the age limit, is there not? Or is that not for college players?
No, it's not for college players.
So they have that option with him.
Yeah, he can go to Rochester if the team wants to, you know, sign him to his entry-level deal and send him to Rochester.
Okay.
All right.
What'd you find out about the air show?
I got information on the air show. The whole time I was, you know, we're talking about the show is at the Outer Harbor. I'm talking about Canal Side because that's where you can go to the Canal Side to get a boat to go to the Outer Harbor. Anyway, it appears that I found somebody sent it in. Thank you. Mark sent it to me. That the area that's closed for the air show appears to be basically inside the break wall, a little bit outside it as well. It'll be blocked off with buoys. So for boaters, I tweeted out information if you're thinking about this weekend, the air show at the Outer Harbor. Boaters information, I tweeted that out. There's a link to that. You can take a look at it. So there you go. Ask and ye shall receive.
I didn't even look at the weather. That's, again, good to see more activities that people can go out and do again, you know?
Yeah, we're looking at it's Saturday and Sunday, and it could be canceled because of weather. It's very much a weather-permitting kind of event. Saturday
I think
looks like
isolated thunderstorms. You should be okay. I think it's
it looks like it could be okay, and Sunday looks even better.
You know what? We'll talk to our buddy Patrick Hammer. We'll do a little clout thing here. We got an in when it comes to weather, me and Jeremy. So we'll talk to Mr. Hammer and see if we can guarantee you some nice weather so you can get the boat out this weekend.
So The Bills have minicamp. Josh Allen and star Latulale both going to speak today. I did wake up thinking of, with a question on Josh Allen for you, if you want to. I'm half kidding when I say pick the Bills, but it's.
Oh, you mean you're fully kidding when you say
pick the Bills. I'm fully kidding.
Okay.
But just I woke up with a thought, and that is because, you know, Mitch Trubisky is getting a lot of love as a good signing, a good backup quarterback. We had someone that yesterday said that predicted that Dable will leave and take Trubisky with him, and there'll be a package deal somewhere else while Allen stays. If Allen were unable to fulfill his duties
as
quarterback.
What is this, like Miss Runner-Up for Miss America?
Well, I don't want to say he's hurt.
Miss America.
I don't want to predict injury. It's just an exercise. You know, I'm not trying to do anything other than say, how many would they win if Trubisky had to play every game? How many games would the Bills win? Because we like their roster, right? Yeah. We like their offensive roster. Allen, of course, is what makes it go more than anything. So if you were to pop out Allen and pop in Trubisky, how many games would they win? And the reason I ask all 17 games
is if Matt Castle takes over New England on opening day?
You know, if I said for four games, that's not right. Doesn't really paint as big of a picture.
Right.
You know, just swap Allen out, Trubisky in, because Bills fans are expecting 13, 14 wins out of this team.
I wouldn't. I thought you meant with Trubisky 14 wins. No, I wouldn't.
Well, how many would it be with Trubisky?
I'd be down. I would be getting my number down to probably 10 or 11.
Okay.
I still think they'd have a winning record. I still think they'd make the playoffs.
I think they'd have a winning record, too.
But I wouldn't be. I mean, I would never go 14-3. I think there has to be some drop-off if you don't have Josh Allen playing. Yeah, I would say this team is still good enough because of its collective pieces. There's no obvious weakness. There are no, you know, there's no glaring fault to the Bills. So if I put Trubisky in, maybe they don't throw it as much as they would with Josh Allen. I think I could still get him to 10, maybe 11 wins, 11-6. At best, probably. I would say at best 11-6.
Right. And that's probably the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
The division would be back in play immediately.
Yeah, I think they could still win the division, but I think it would be a dogfight. I don't know what the hell New England's going to get out of their quarterback position this year. And it has nothing to do with, you know, I don't put any stock into whatever's going on in anybody's OTAs or mini camps. Like, I know there's been some of the tweets from the Patriots writers are how, you know, Jones doesn't look ready and he's having some issues with accuracy and all this stuff and whatever. But I just don't know what kind of production they're going to get. I think even at 11-6 and maybe even 10-7, depending on what happens with Tua, I think the Bills could still win the division. I don't think New England gets more than like, I mean, I could see them topping out at like 9-8. So I think the Bills win the division, Jeremy, but I think it'll be a dogfight probably till right maybe the end of the season based on what Tua is doing with Miami this season.
You think New England tops out at 9-8?
Yeah.
So then they're not finishing in second.
I think New England finishes in third and Miami finishes in second.
It's going to be tough to know what to expect. With New England, you know, yesterday and the day before, they're having their mini camps. Brayton's mentioned that Stephon Gilmore's a holdout.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how mini camp works and how you can only see so much and there's only so much video. What am I supposed to trust?
Right.
2 days ago, I read that Cam Newton is way ahead of Mac Jones and that Mac Jones has no prayer to start opening day. Then yesterday, I saw clips up against one another, Cam Newton missing three different throws and Mac Jones hitting three different throws.
Right.
And what am I supposed to do?
Cam was missing badly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to say it's not exactly the same, but you know, Bills fans have seen when someone posts like, "Hey, check out this Josh Allen throw." Like,
what was exactly that? What it reminded me of?
Right. Like, was that throw the whole practice, or are you trying to make a point about how he missed a throw really badly?
Right.
We know Cam is on the downside. I think that's pretty much understood. I still believe he might have some football left, and will probably keep his job over Mac Jones, but in mini camps, it is just so hard to figure out. I mean, there is a reason they brought him back. If anyone thinks like he can't throw the ball past the line of scrimmage, why'd they bring him back?
Mm-hmm.
They had other options. There are other guys that moved around.
Sure. They could have had Dalton. I don't know if they would have traded for Darnold, but at least Andy Dalton would come to mind. He was available. A guy who has experience. Look, I want to – actually, I'll ask you about Miami and New England. I know you can't totally throw out the quarterback. It is – the most important position. But if you look at both the Dolphins and the Patriots, they do both have questions at that spot. Like, we don't know who's starting in New England and then who will do, you know, how that person does. We're pretty sure Tua is going to be the starter in Miami. Does he play every game? Do they bench him at any point? Who knows? Who do you think, taking into account both teams have question marks at quarterback, who has the better roster around the quarterback? Like, who could overcome? I guess I don't think either team is good enough to win the division, even if Trubisky has to start. But of Miami and New England, who could overcome potential quarterback issues better? I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who is the next best team? Is it, well, New England's added all these offensive players. They had all this money in free agency. They got opting out. Guys that opted out are coming back on defense. Or, you know, with average quarterback play, Miami's better, New England's better.
You know, the opting out on defense, it's something I've been saying a lot, too, and someone corrected me with the actual number of players that are returning to their defense. It's Dante Hightower.
Oh, I thought it was more than Hightower. Okay.
There were eight players overall.
Yeah.
But a number of them left in free agency or were depth guys.
Right.
Like, the impact players. Did Patrick Chung retire? He was another, right?
Well, Van Noy left in free agency. There was another somebody went to Detroit, right? One of their front seven guys went to Detroit last year. I thought there were three main opt-outs. Hightower. Did a McCourty opt out last year? I thought there were three opt-outs on the defensive side of the ball.
Patrick Chung opted out, and then he retired after.
So he's not coming back.
Was there a third guy that opted out on defense? It's just Hightower?
They had like seven people opt out on.
But
name guys. I'm not talking like the
Marcus Cannon, Patrick Chung, and Dante Hightower were their three biggest opt-outs.
All right, I thought there was another defensive player.
I mean, I've been saying, they're getting them all back, but it's really only one defensive player that's returning for them. The defense was strong for a half of the season, maybe. And, of course, if they're about to trade Gilmore, Jalen Ramsey is now courting Stephon Gilmore to join them in Los Angeles.
Hey, can players be nailed for tampering?
I mean, maybe.
If you tweet out, come play with us, and, you know, I think that's tampering. Anyway, yeah, I thought there was another guy. All right, so.
Do the Rams want to trade a first-round pick in 5 years?
Do they have any left?
I don't know. Yeah.
So anyway, Miami, New England, who's better? Taking into account, you don't really know what either team's getting out of their quarterback position at this point.
Yeah, I don't. It's tough. It is tough because with Newton, you've got the veteran who isn't what he was, and with Tua, you know, the stat I keep going back to on Tua is that his yards per attempt was right there with, or his depth of target, average yards per target was right there with Justin Herbert, and. You know, we think about when I saw Tua, it felt like I was watching a lot of checkdowns, but apparently he does throw the ball down the field. He's got burners.
Mm-hmm.
He's got really good weapons now with Fuller, Gesicki, and Jalen Waddle. Oh,
yeah.
That 1-2-3 is really, really nice. So Miami, I was bullish on them last year. This year, I guess, why not, right? Brian Flores, I think, has executed what he's wanted to in Miami really effectively. He got a lot of flack for how he handled the quarterback situation last year. Mm-hmm. I thought it went fine. They stayed in the playoff race while they got their young quarterback the experience. And he didn't get fired for it, right? He's still their coach.
Right.
Sometimes it's treated as if, you know, well, if you're 4-2, you have to shut it all down and put Tua back in. And once you put Tua in, you can never go back to Fitz. Well, he did go back to Fitz. And guess what? Now Fitz is playing for another team, and Tua is going to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea that you'll ruin him forever, which, you know, maybe we thought that happened with the Bills when they, well, you can never pull J.P. Lawson and his confidence will be shot, all these things. I think Flores walked that fine line pretty well, and now he's got his young quarterback with more weapons, and he has played a little bit.
Yeah.
So they didn't make the playoffs, of course. They lost the last game they needed to win to make it. They have faith in Tua, and if they can kind of follow this the way that everything else has gone for them, which appears to have gone to plan the way they've built that up in Miami, then I think they'll probably be okay. And, you know, the quarterback's position is such a coin toss sometimes, but Tua was highly touted, has been his whole career, has been injured. If he's healthy, they have the weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are a better team. I think Tua – Just not, I don't, I mean, I just think New England's quarterback play is going to be bad next season, no matter, or excuse me, this season, no matter what. I think Tua will be more productive than whoever the heck is playing in the Patriots, for the Patriots at quarterback. So I do think Miami's the better team. I think they'll finish second. I think New England will finish third. You're right, by the way. Hightower was the opt-outs you mentioned. Marcus Cannon, you said Patrick Chung. Matt Lacoste, a tight end. Running back Brandon Bolden. Fullback Dan Vitale. Marquise Lee, Najee Torrent. So there were no big opt-outs on defense other that are coming back other than Hightower, which is big, by the way. He's a really important player for them. But then they had also lost Van Noy. They let him walk. He goes to Miami for 1 year, and they cut him. Jamie Collins, I remember their linebacking core was just obliterated between the opt-outs and two guys leaving in free agency because Collins had come back, kind of rejuvenated himself in New England, and then he went to go to Detroit in free agency. So that was part of it last year. They had no returning linebackers. So the one opt out does come back is Hightower. So that is important for them. And Chung retires, but I think I'm trying to remember if one or both of the McCourties are back this year. And who knows what's happening with Gilmore? I assume Gilmore will show up for the season and for training camp, but he's in the last year of his contract. He's apparently not happy with $7 million. And so we'll see how that plays out. He did not show up for the mandatory minicamp, but I would assume he would show up and play this season for New England, unless they decide to say, the heck with you, Mr. Gilmore, we're going to trade you before training camp. Sal's going to join us in a moment because the Bills are practicing today and it's mandatory. We'll find out the latest on the Bills in a moment. Let's see, 803-0550 for you to join us, by the way. If you got a question for Sal, you can get in now and reserve a spot and talk to him. Let's give you another code word as we continue to play the Win Cash Contest. Give you numerous chances to win $1,000 in this contest. All you have to do is text a code word. This hour, it is mute. I'm listening to Weinerline calls in my head right now using that. Text MUTE, M-U-T-E, to 72881. You have until 8 o'clock. Text the word in. If you do, you have a shot at $1,000. Please remember two things. One, message and data rates may apply. Actually, more important than one would be this. Don't text and drive. That's why we build in a little extra time. You don't have to text it in right now. You have until the top of the hour. MUTE, M-U-T-E, 72881. It is the Win Cash Contest powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal's going to join us, and he is with us thanks to New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal's is hanging out on the Western Hotline talking with us for a living. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy mandatory minicamp day to you, sir.
Yeah, you as well, guys. We're finally here. The last 3 days, and then training camp on the horizon.
It cannot get here fast enough. I really need training camp because that means I'm getting closer to the regular season. I'm going through withdrawal here, Sal.
I hear you. I kind of feel like that sometimes, but give me that month still of having summer, okay? Can I have that?
For football media, this next month is it. You're right. Like you got you anybody who covers the league on a regular basis, this is your 1 month to breathe before you dive back into, you know, crazy.
Listen, the secret though is it's all not that bad for the last couple of months. It's okay, so we're all right, you know. Once we hit, you know, end of July, it's full steam ahead. But you know, there's a lot to get to today, and I mean, you know, for a team that's as veteran laden as the Bills now, and all the continuity they have, I think you know these sessions are important.
One thing that'll be interesting, Sal. I don't know if there's any way to really kind of lay it out how it will be definitely different, but expectations different. You know, you've talked about Sean McDermott saying you kind of got to build it from the ground up. I feel like Brian Daboll said something like that too. Like, you don't get to ride your momentum from last year. You start over again, basically, and try and create the number one offense in the league again. Do you think they do anything different this time around? I don't know what that means about structuring practices, but just it's every year is different. This year, the expectations might be the biggest thing that's different for fans, because this team is supposed to be very, very good.
Yeah, I think once we get into the regular season, we'll know a little bit more about that, Jeremy. But I do wonder how last year's pandemic, causing lots of different ways that they had to structure everything, how that might play into this year. Because everybody learned a lot, right? You learned a lot about how you need to kind of navigate through all of that. And there's still some of that out there, right? We don't know what it's going to look like. So I think, to me, that's a big part of the storyline right now, which is how do these OTAs, we know kind of, we've been out there for the OTAs, how do these mini camps, you know, go with that? I think we can get a feel for that. But what about training camp? You know, what are the protocols once that comes around? And how do teams and the Bills specifically here, you know, navigate? Because last year was all new and they were learning it. And they're going to take some things from there and say, oh, well, you know what? If we're in the same situation, we have to do this differently or that differently. So we won't know that until training camp. But I do find, I would say, though, that they probably learned a lot of things, that they do have to tweak a thing here or a thing there that they think would be better for them.
Sal, do you think, to Jeremy's question about McDermott and Daboll, all these guys talking about, and they're right, by the way, last season earned you nothing for the coming season.
Right.
Are players able to do that, too? As fans, we don't. Like, I don't just forget that 2020 happened, and I automatically think, well, they're going to win the division and they're going to be, you know, playing Kansas City probably to get to the Super Bowl. But every season is different. I know. Can players shut it off and not be human beings, basically, and go into the season thinking, yeah, we're really good. We're going to take this division and let's see Kansas City in the AFC Championship game again. It's okay for us. Do those guys just close that stuff out?
I think it's really hard for them to do that, to be able to. I think they have to reset. They have to start over again. They have to have that mentality. I think that's how they got to where they are.
Right.
You know, where every single day is a new day for them. But here's the other part of this. I think that really is a mindset that is part of the culture that Sean McDermott has created, which is that, you know, every single day you come to work is a new day. It's a new day to get better, you know, and, you know, try to be better today than you were yesterday. And you can never believe that, you know, you've arrived.
Right.
But I think that's been instilled for 4 years now in this team. So anybody that comes into this organization, even if you're, you know, kind of new to it, I think you get that right away. You get that feeling, you get that knowledge of you have to come every single day with a new day prepared to work, and you can never rest on what you did in the past. And even if maybe you're someone of the mindset who kind of feels that way, I think that probably leaves your blood pretty quickly here. But I think in general, professional athletes, they know they're good guys. Come on, right? They know they have a good team. They know what their goals are. They know their championship caliber. They can get to a Super Bowl. They can win a Super Bowl. They know that. But I don't think anybody thinks we're just going to walk on that field and win games. Every week is a new week. I think once the regular season starts, especially, that just takes a life of its own, where it doesn't matter what you did in 2020 or 2019. Once the regular season starts, you're focused on the next opponent, the next game, and you can't allow yourself to do anything like that.
same topic with an individual. You know, you always think, I would think about Josh Allen too, right? As now we would look at it and go, he's arrived. Last year was the breakthrough year. You know, you look at some of these quarterback rankings in the offseason, he's ending up in top five in almost every quarterback ranking. And you would look at that and go, well, it's a natural, he's just going to pick up where he left off and get even better. Now, of course, there's no guarantee to that. And again, it's mindset, Sal, right? Josh Allen can't go into the offseason individual and think, I made it. I'm here. He's got to work hard and he's got to get better and he's got to keep working on right technique and footwork and do all the things and put in the time and the commitment to take another step up this coming season. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, I think a few things at play with Josh here. Number one is more of the small picture, which is, and you know, I'll say it this way, the small picture, I mean, you know, the contract is a big thing, obviously,
right,
but,
right.
You know, I think that, you know, he's still playing for a contract. He really is. He's not under contract. You know, I think that's obviously something we've all talked about. He knows about that. You know, he's trying to earn a living at the highest of levels, you know, in this sport and, you know, become the franchise quarterback the team ultimately pays and has to pay a lot of money to. I mean, that's a part of it. The other thing is that was super impressive to me was when we first spoke to him a while back and he said, you know, Josh, what are you working on? I mean, hey, you had this great year. You were the runner up to the league MVP. You had amazing statistics. And he got even into the weeds of the in-cut route. You know, yeah, I didn't think right. I threw the in-cut route as good as I should have, right? Well, I think when you're that dialed into specific routes that you need to throw a little bit better, because would any of us have said that? I mean, you remember when he didn't throw the deep ball well? We all knew that, right? His rookie year. Like, how come he can't hit the deep ball? He's got to work on that. That was kind of in front of your face.
Yeah.
You knew he had to throw the deep ball better. Maybe it was after his second year, whatever. Would any of us have said, you know, he better throw that in-cut route a little bit better?
You didn't
might
see
I'm not thinking that did. Way. Sal, you might be yelled at if you did.
You didn't see the big right. article I posted about that? I did a right. full article about in-cuts. I can't. All right, fine. Go
right.
ahead.
So, I mean, for him to come out and say that, I think means he is really kind of dialed into the little things that he needs to improve on to be the best quarterback he can be. And then I think the third part, which is what I mean, the big picture here, Josh Allen is an alpha male. It's what he is. He is a leader. He is a guy that has been groomed to be a quarterback his entire life, a leader on an athletic field, just his personality. And I think that plays into he's never going to sit back and say, I've arrived. I just can't imagine this young man with this personality being like that. He never strikes me as anyone. I don't care if he won a Super Bowl, if he wins two Super Bowls. Josh Allen just doesn't strike me as a person who says, hey, that's good. I'm good. I've had a great career. It doesn't matter what happens from now on.
Sal with us, 803-0550. Sal will be at Mandatory Minicamp covering it for us today. John in West Seneca, you're on WGR with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So a big question that I think that we need to talk about going into the season is that, like, is the addition of Sterling Tulay really going to bring back our defense to kind of 2019 form? Because I remember, you know, obviously when we came back to last year and our defense started allowing a lot of points, everyone started asking the question, what was wrong? And a lot of people, you know, said it was Sterling Tulay because, you know, he's this big defensive tackle that kind of takes up the A-gap. And, you know, I can totally understand when people say the defensive line helps out the linebackers and the linebackers help out the safeties. So I can understand why one person's absence can maybe lead to a chain of events that would make a defense go from top three to maybe average to below average. And I don't think we talked about it enough because we were just so clamored with the offense scoring 500 points. So I think my big question is, do you think Sterling Tulay's addition is going to make, you know, this defense go back from average to top three?
I do not think that one particular individual, in this case, Sterling Tulay, this is a really fascinating question because, of course, he's going to help. And I think that this is a big focus of exactly what you said. You're not wrong at all. Like, when people said last year, what's wrong? One of the first things anybody would point to, well, you know, they're really, really missing Star in the middle. I want to caution people, though, of thinking that, oh, this is a quick fix. It's Star. There were other things that went wrong with this defense last year. They couldn't get to the quarterback as well as they wanted. I mean, getting him down. You know, Leslie Frazier said, you know, they pressured the quarterback quite a bit. And I agree with that. I think they got to the quarterback, you know, pressure-wise a little bit more, you know, than people realize. But they didn't get the quarterback down. But the other part of this was, like, they gave up some more deep passes last year than we're used to. You know, I don't think they tackled as well as they wanted to, especially early in the year. That probably has nothing to do with Star Lotulelei. He's on the field 50% of the time. He's mostly on rundowns. So, you know, I would caution anybody against thinking, A, that suddenly getting Star Lotulelei is just going, oh, we're so fine now, we're going to vault back up into the top whatever of defense. But also, you know, just thinking that that was... that or pinning it on him and being gone, right? That's the other part of it. Don't just pin it on, oh, Star, and he opted out. It's because of him. They needed to play better on defense last year as a group, and especially over the first 6 weeks or so, they were not the same unit we had seen. Part of that, though, guys, as we've pointed out many times, it's score effect. The Bills' offense is so good, teams are more aggressive against them. And when teams are more aggressive against them, sure, you might have more opportunities to make plays, but you're going to give up more plays, and I think that is something you have to be aware of.
Probably should, before we let you go, do the whole reminder thing. Mandatory minicamp is open to the media. And I think when we, you know, when we talk about the Bills, Sal, obviously when, you know, questions and positions and battles and cornerback too will always come up. So would you want to remind people again, if you follow Sal on Twitter, he is at practice today and you would probably, hey, Sal, who's at cornerback two with the starters? You know, is Ford at left guard with the starters? Just remind everybody again, you basically can't tell anybody that stuff.
We have plenty of, you know, restrictions on what we can and can't report. There's a lot of things we can tell you, but we can't tell you who lined up where. I cannot tell you if a certain offensive lineman played guard or tackle or center. I cannot tell you if he was on the first team or second team, or what cornerback was on the first team or second team. Can't even really tell you who was returning punts or kicks with the first unit. Any reps, units... who's on nickel defense, can't do that. I could tell you that Josh Allen threw a really nice ball, deep ball to Stephon Diggs. I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly where he came from, what route it was, who it was against. You know what I mean? Those are just kinds of things that, you know, restrictions are placed on the media. But that's what we've had to deal with for a year or so. So we've kind of been able to, you know, get through that part of it. But yes, you're right. People inevitably do ask. The other thing people ask all the time is, why didn't you have video of that play? Well, because there's only certain times we can shoot video or take pictures during practice. Once they're done with stretching and individual position work, cameras get shut down, whether that's me or someone from one of the local news channels on television or whomever it is. We cannot shoot video past a certain point. So when the fight occurred last week between Feliciano and Epinesa, I got a lot of people saying, well, why is there no video of this? What, none of you guys were, you know, no, we can't. Like, that's during a 11-on-11 portion or a 7-on-7 portion where, you know, that's all shut down. But that's been for years. That's been, you know, you go back to training camp many years ago, you weren't allowed to do things like that. And then finally, just a personal one here, guys. I shoot video on my iPhone. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But I'm not like this guy with this huge camera and this huge lens out there. So sometimes I shoot video and people say, why are you so far away? Well, A, because we can only stand in a certain spot, but B, because it's on my phone and I'm a radio reporter trying to give you some video. So I just want to make people aware of that before it happens.
I figured out how to beat the system. You ready? So tomorrow, yeah. You're going to be on with us tomorrow. When we talk about cornerback two, I will ask you, hey, Sal, by the way, what do you prefer, Alabama barbecue or Pittsburgh Primanti Brothers sandwiches? And then you'll answer, based on which player is starting. If it's Levi Wallace, you tell me you like Alabama barbecue. If it's Dane Jackson, you say, I like Primanti Brothers from Pittsburgh.
You know,
genius.
I don't think that I want to go down that road, Howard, to be honest with you. I actually enjoy my access at Bills training, at Bills minicamp, and I'm just probably asking, would like to be there the next day, too.
It's food choices, Sal. It has nothing to do with reps. I'm just getting food choices from you. All right.
Well, what if I said food that you would inevitably not try, by the way? Right?
Oh, no, I've had both. I've had both. I love Primanti Brothers sandwiches with the fries on them. And I have had Alabama barbecue when UB played Auburn years ago. We had a chance to go out and enjoy some local delicious barbecue.
What if you asked me that and my answer was, I don't know, that's a wild goose chase?
Oh, then it's the kid they drafted. What's his name? Rashard
Wild Goose.
Yeah, him.
You're assuming it's.
And if you don't answer the question, it means they're still bringing in a veteran free agent cornerback. I got to go see where Richard Sherman played college ball.
There you go.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Stanford? Okay. There you go. Something about the band being on the field. Oh, no, that was Cal. Anyway, Sal, tomorrow morning at 7, you good with that?
I think I'll be around. Yeah.
Okay. I'm booking you now so I don't.
Schedule.
So I don't forget later in the day. Crossing
sure thing, guys.
Off my to do list. Thank you, Mr. Capaccio.
Okay.
Sal was on the Western Hotline. This is how nice a guy I am. I didn't even bring up, hey, Sal, what's happening to your baseball club? Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Ours is talking about the Bills with Sal and you. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550 on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Howard, I know you've been locked in on the Euro 2020.
I've heard of it.
Had maybe the goal of the tournament yesterday.
Did you tweet it out?
Let me send it to you so you can watch it. It's the kind of goal that gets scored, and then you say that might be the goal of the tournament, and it's going to be hard to beat. By the way, today, Hungary, Portugal at 12, France, Germany at 3.
That's significant, right?
That's a good one. Yeah. Those are the two games today, and that's it. So
just
12
two,
and 3.
Okay.
Just two today. Yeah, they had the one day where Turkey-Italy was the only game of the day. So,
Has there been a favorite game before you get to the goal? Best game so far you've seen?
The Netherlands-Ukraine game was great.
Of course it's your Netherlands team. You're partial.
3-2. It's exciting.
Well, that is exciting. Okay.
And they blew a 2-0 lead, and they won it 3-2. So let me send you... Brayton, I sent you the video that it's at 3:12 though. Anyway, play the highlight. They're freaking out. I'll send you a clip and you can watch it.
Yeah.
And react in real time as you did when I sent you the Vlad home run.
I like the my favorite goal is always what is it like the falling backwards scissor kick?
The bicycle kick?
Yeah, the bicycle kick over your head as you're falling backwards. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Okay, let me introduce you to a new kind of favorite goal. This is Patrick Schick.
Okay.
Is his name?
Yep.
Of Scotland.
Okay, hold on a second. You just sent it to me.
Czech Republic, I think.
Czech Republic. Okay, thank you.
Goal. I got to get to the 312.
It was against
mark.
Scotland.
Yes.
Yeah, the 321 mark. 321. Here's the highlight.
Helped give birth to international football as we know it. Hendry with the shot. Now the break might be on for Patrick Schick. And look what he's trying to do. Schick. Oh!
Wow.
Can you believe what we've just seen? Out of this world! From Patrick Schick.
So that's a... He scored from 50 yards away.
All right, I'm approaching it on the counter here.
Yeah, you'll see it here. It's, you know, a shot gets blocked. There's a break back the other way.
Oh,
he
it's
takes
out there.
A
midfield?
Shot.
It's, oh,
midfield.
My Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. Is that typical for the keeper to come out that far?
Well...
Is he trying to chase the ball down, beat the guy to the ball?
I'm glad you asked. I reached out to a former soccer goalie friend
yeah.
of mine.
Oh
I was
God,
asking
so
questions about as a goalie, my buddy Chris. I'm like, all right, as a goalie.
Yeah.
How does it, is this embarrassing when this happens to you? You
right.
get worked from 50 yards out because you come up.
Yeah.
Right? You have one job. Stop the ball from going to the net. And that
oh
guy just beat
goodness,
you from
look
distance.
At him. Yeah, he stopped and he realized what was
uh-oh.
Happening. He tried to run back and do like the Willie Mays over the head catch.
Yeah. So, again, it's a perfect shot
wow.
from – Schick there, as you see, as you're watching the highlight.
Yeah.
You know, the goalies will come up a bit to try and help their defenders if you want to play it back to the goalie, which teams will do. If you stay all the way back, you leave too much space, and, you know, you can run into problems. Maybe he was up a little far. Either way, it is an incredible shot.
He was up near the circle at midfield.
Yeah, he's way up. He's probably too far up.
Yeah.
And I just thought those goals were – the goalie's out of the net and you kick it over top of him. I just think those are always the best. They zoom in on the goalie, and the goalie.
What a feeling.
You just got to feel, even though it's like it takes the perfect shot, one in a million, to get it in there. I just think you have to feel so embarrassed. Like, yeah. Oh.
Well, and you know, like, what a helpless feeling it is, because you know there's nothing you can do about it. Like, I mean, if you could, I'm guessing he could see the trajectory, and he's looking at it thinking, I'm not going to catch up to this thing. Like, it's not like you can lay out or extend your arms out and catch it and keep it out of the goal. Like, it's
just to try that.
That's frustrating.
Just to try that is something incredible on its own.
It's like, you know, we see goalies in hockey come out, right? Sometimes try and get to the puck, maybe even beyond the circle, chase for the puck. This would be like, you leave the net, you're trying to get out, or you go way, way out, and the guy hits like maybe your blue line and chips it over your head. Just says, all right, fine, I'm just going to loft it up in the air. And you turn around, you try and skate back, not going to happen. Boy, I felt really bad for the goalie. That's got to be a miserable feeling, waiting for that ball to just come down and go into the net, because you know you have no chance of stopping it. Thanks for that. It was kind of fun.
France, Germany.
Bragging rights? Like, is this a really big rivalry, France, Germany? I feel like it would be a significant rivalry. No?
Yeah, sure.
I would think this would be a bragging rights.
Germany is a rivalry with everybody over there.
Yeah. Probably goes back to two world wars, that type of thing.
It does. I've told that story on the air before, right?
I think you did tell me that's when you were visiting Europe.
Germany for the or not in Germany. I was in Europe. Yeah. Actually, Germany along the way.
Yep.
We're asking people who they're rooting for, and anybody but Germany is what they said.
Wow.
Anybody but Germany. I said it like an idiot. Why? And the woman said the war.
Yeah. Seems like it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Duh. Sorry. We were over in the United States, and neither one of us were alive. Okay. Hey, we will get to more in a moment. Quick reminder here. See if you can help out. Some charities in need here in Western New York. We know the pandemic created an unprecedented time for the nonprofit community. And this year, Western New York nonprofits are really in need of your support more than ever before. So the Bills and the Sabres are teaming up. They're going to host the first annual Give 716. It is going to be July 15th and 16th, and it will help raise money for charities here in Western New York. You can act now. Teams are encouraging all charities in the 8 Western New York counties to register by visiting give716.org. Again, register at give716.org. Give 716, helping Western New York nonprofits raise funds that are critical to supporting their work. Register your charity today at give716.org.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.